First of all, I thank God for enabling me to be with you this evening time. I consider it a great privilege to stand before you to minister the God's word. Last 1 month I was with you, I enjoyed the fellowship and the love and affection of the saints here. Tonight I thought of sharing something with the subject of the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16 to 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 16 to 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. May the Lord bless the public reading of this scriptural portion. I'm coming from India. For the first time, I'm visiting this US. And probably this is my first sermon addressing to a non-Indian gathering. I always address to my Indian gatherings. For the last 10 years, I am in the ministry. We have a small gathering in Mumbai, around 100 people we gathered together. We have multiples of language in India. It is estimated that around 700 languages and dialects are there in India. And in our gathering, though it's a small gathering, we have 9 language-speaking people are there. 9 languages in small gathering, you can imagine. If you want to check it very easily, I can tell you, you go to Google and see an Indian currency and see at least 15 languages are there. You understand, it's a country with multiples of languages. I'm not talking with my mother tongue, I'm talking with a foreign language, I'm talking in your language. We found that in our gathering, the one way of communicating 9 different languages, the only way to communicate either English, that's the best way to do that. So we used mostly the English language, but it's an Indian English, it's slightly pronunciations and all, maybe slightly different. I don't know how you understand me. So, this is what I am coming from that assembly. As I told you, for the last 10 years, I am traveling across India. From length and breadth of my country, I traveled, and I am teaching ministry assigned to me. Lord is strengthening me and helping me to teach the God's word everywhere. And please pray for our country. It's very, very important now, because we don't have that much freedom as you enjoy here. So we appreciate, whenever you think about India, please pray for that. We have around 3,000 assemblies are there. It's growing. So you have to uphold our country in your prayer. When we go around and share the gospel, hundreds of people are accepting the Lord, even though there are a lot of persecutions and sufferings. So is my earnest request that you should uphold our country. Now, after this brief introduction, shall we turn to our subject tonight, that is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, or a rapture I want to talk to you. It's a vast subject. And briefly I want to tell you about the subject called the rapture. The passage which we have read here this evening speaks about the rapture, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. And that event is called as a rapture, or it is otherwise called a great snatch, snatching away the church from this world. We are taken away from here speedily. That is what it is called. When we think about the second coming, we should know that there are two phases of his coming. I know that this subject is not unfamiliar to you, are familiar with that. Yet it is good to revise it again. When we talk about the two phases, we know the first phase is called the rapture. And that is primarily for the church. Lord Jesus is coming to take away his church. And second part of that phase is called as the glorious appearance of Christ. Glorious appearance for Israel, the nation of Israel. He is coming with the saints. The first one is coming for the saints, for the believers, for the New Testament church. But in glorious appearance, he is coming with the saints upon this earth. So, when we study this subject, we should distinguish these two aspects very clearly. If you confuse with this one, the subject is very confusing. You won't understand properly. So, when we study the passages, we should understand whether it is referring to a rapture or glorious appearance, we have to understand. In 1 Thessalonians, you read that every chapter is ending with the reference about the coming of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians primarily speaking about the rapture. Whereas in 2 Thessalonians, we read about the glorious appearance in chapter 2. So, these two things we should distinguish very clearly. We know the Lord's coming is sometimes referred in the New Testament, especially the last chapter of the New Testament. At least three times it is mentioned, "Behold, I come quickly." He's coming quickly. Three times repeated to confirm that he is going to come. And in that chapter, it is mentioned that he is coming like a bright and morning star. I don't know how many of you have seen bright and morning star. To see bright and morning star, you had to get up early morning. I have asked many congregations, how many of you have seen that? Many people, they have not seen it, even though it comes every day. Very few had seen, because you had to get up early in the morning, you had to watch and wait for that. So in the New Testament, it is referring, Lord's coming is referred, or as a metaphor it is used, that he is coming, is a title is given to the Lord, that he is coming as a bright and morning star, is the title of the Lord. Whereas, in the Old Testament, that also ending with the coming of the Lord. Malachi chapter 4. There we see in verse 2 that he is coming like the Son of Righteousness. See, the difference is very clear. In the New Testament, it is mentioned that ending referring to bright and morning star. Whereas in the Old Testament, his coming is mentioned Son of Righteousness. I'm sure all of you have seen the sun. Even if you 10 o'clock you get up, you will see the sun. You need not wait for the sun. It will come. You can see at any time. Convenient time. So we see the two aspects of the Lord's coming is mentioned here. One is a private event. All will not see. Whereas other one is a public event. Everybody can see that. The coming of the Lord in two aspects we see. Look at that. What is the meaning of that? Bright and morning star speaks about the Lord's coming in relation with the church, rapture. We are waiting for the rapture.
New Testament believers are waiting for that. That is why it is concluded that he is coming like a bright and morning star. That is referring to the rapture. Whereas for the Old Testament saints, he is coming like the Son of Righteousness. That is the glorious appearance. See, you look and see the very clear distinctions here. For the New Testament believers, he is coming like the bright and morning star. We are waiting, we will see him. But the world won't understand it. World won't see that. They won't experience it. They will understand that some people are missing, that's all. Probably they will ask some scientists to investigate why these people are missing. They won't understand details. But we are waiting and we will meet him in the air. Whereas for the glorious appearance, it is for the nation of Israel, he is coming like a Son of Righteousness to rule upon this earth for 1,000 years. Another interesting thing, just briefly you should know that, whenever we speak about the Lord's coming, it is mentioned that he is coming like a thief. Why it is mentioned like a thief? That metaphor is shown that a thief unannounced, there is no announcement that thief is coming. No announcement is there. Unexpected time, the Lord will come. There is no prior notice is given for that. So the Lord's coming is an unexpected time. Without any prior notice, he will come. And we have to watch and wait for his coming. The question is this one. Why a thief is coming? A thief is coming to give shake hand and to say hi and hello and all to you? No, thief is not coming to say wishes to you. Thief has a purpose, isn't it? What are the purposes of a thief? He is not coming to meet you. In fact, he is coming for some other purpose. When the Lord was speaking about the thief, not about himself, he was speaking about the real thief. Don't compare that with the thief. And he is telling why a thief is coming. John's Gospel chapter 10 verse 10. That verse is not applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is applied to a real thief. But he says why a thief is coming. In John's Gospel chapter 10 verse 10, it is mentioned a thief is coming, number one, to steal, number two, to kill, number three, to destroy. A thief is coming for threefold purpose. Number one, he is coming to steal. Number two, he is coming to kill. Number three, he is coming to destroy. If you arrange all the verses which is mentioned that the Lord's coming is like a thief, the day of the Lord is coming like a thief, then we see the references like that. We can understand this threefold purpose of a thief. First, he is coming to steal. A thief is coming to steal. What is there to steal here on this earth? A thief is coming to steal the most valuable and precious thing from a house. Most valuable. Have you ever heard that you are saying, anybody saying that, oh, yesterday one thief came and he took away our dustbin. Anybody heard about that? A thief is not coming to take away the dustbin. He is coming to take away the most valuable thing from your house. What is the most valuable thing for the Lord in this world? What is the most valuable thing for him? That is his church. His church is the most valuable. Lord himself, Peter says that you are not purchased by the silver and gold, but you are purchased by the precious blood of the Lamb. We are the most valuable thing here to his heart. So he is coming to take away the most valuable thing. That is the church. This is the one purpose of his coming. That happens at the time of rapture. Secondly, a thief is coming. What is the second purpose of a thief? To kill. I don't have much time to refer all the verses. Revelation chapter 16 verse 13 onwards if you read. We read the reference of Armageddon there. All the nations will be gathering together for the great battle of the Lord called Armageddon. In the midst of that, in that reference, it is mentioned that, "Behold, I come like a thief." In the midst of the Armageddon. Again we read in Revelation chapter 19 verse 11 onwards. The coming of the Lord in glory is described there. In verse 15, if you want, you can read that. Verse 15, we read that. Revelation 19, verse 15. The background is Armageddon. And in that background, if you read chapter 19, verse 15, we read like this. "Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that which it be, he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron." So here we see the second purpose of the Lord's coming. To smite the nations, to kill. And that will happen at the time of the glorious appearance of Christ. So the gap between these two, the rapture and the glorious appearance, at least minimum 7 years gap is there. Rapture, we are going up in the air, we will meet him. And that is called the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are enjoying, we are getting rewards. Afterwards, we are coming down after the marriage of the Lamb, down. On the Mount of Olives, the Lord will come. At that time, he is going to kill the nations of the enemies of Israel. And that event is called as the glorious appearance. The gap between the rapture and the glorious appearance is minimum, maybe slightly more than that, 7 years gap is there. Then he will establish his kingdom and he will rule the world for 1,000 years. Wonderful time it is. Going to be a great changes in the world. It's called the millennial kingdom. Jerusalem will be the capital of the whole world. World Parliament will be there in Jerusalem. He's going to rule the glorious time it is going to happen. And is a most enjoyable time. The climatic changes will occur in the world. And at the end of that, again come to VC about the Lord's coming is mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10. Look at that. What is mentioned? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10. We will read that. Again, they are mentioned about the coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief. Again, see that in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt and fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are in it shall be burned up. The third purpose is to destroy. The present earth and heaven, he is coming. To destroy, he is coming. So we understand, the Lord is coming. Lord is coming, number one, to take away the church. The most valuable thing from this world. The rapture. Secondly, he is coming in glory. And he is coming on the Mount of Olives. And to destroy the enemies of Israel. Sharp sword will proceed from his mouth. And he will destroy the nations at that time. The glorious appearance. After 1,000 years, we see that. After the rule, we see that he is going to destroy the present heaven and the earth. And he will make the new heaven and earth. You see the following verses, we read that. That is called the day of the God. Day of God will we will enter, and we are waiting for that new heaven and the earth. So this is a brief idea, an introduction to the subject of the coming of the Lord. So we understand is a vast subject. There are various views and various ideas regarding that. And I don't want to go into that. I want to concentrate only on the rapture. You know, there is various views. I am not going to discuss about that. There are four main views are there. Partial rapture, post-tribulation, mid-tribulation rapture, and the pre-tribulation rapture. I'm not going to discuss. There is no time to. This is a vast subject. I would like to discuss. My standing is very clear. The assembly is primarily, basically, followed this particular doctrinal stand, most of the assemblies, that is pre-tribulation rapture. Jain, Darby, Kelly, William Kelly, and all other earlier writers, we know that they were writing about this particular truth. And it is revealed very clearly in the scripture. So, this is the view that we are going to hold it. Sometimes we wonder why we have to speak about that. Number one reason, there are many reasons. Number one reason, we find in the Word of God, there's a clear distinction between Israel and the church. They are not the same. That is why we hold on to pre-tribulation rapture. Secondly, we know that church is formed on the day of Pentecost. Those who argue that it's a post-tribulation after tribulation, they say that church started in the Garden of Eden. We don't understand that. Old Testament, there's no reference about the church. So the church began on the day of Pentecost. This program of church will terminate when the Lord comes in air, the rapture. So my standing is very clear that we are going to discuss about the pre-tribulation rapture. After the coming of the Lord in glory, after the rapture, we see that the Lord will deal with the nation of Israel. 70th week will start. And that 7 years will be the tribulation period. The rulers, the wicked rulers will rule, the beast, the Antichrist, he will rule the world. And that is a great time of suffering for the people of Israel. So after the rapture, Lord will deal with that. That I briefly mentioned, I'm not going to deal with that in detail. Now, just to have a look at the brief things which we have studied and other things, to look at that. There is a clear distinction between rapture and the glorious appearance. Look at that. Rapture is for the church. Glorious appearance is for the nation of Israel. Rapture is a private event or a secret event. We say that many will not understand about it. Whereas the glorious appearance is a public event. Everybody will see that. I personally believe that the glorious appearance is going to be a live telecasting. Sometimes you may wonder where it is mentioned. Yes, it is mentioned in the scripture. Very clear. If you want, you can note down. If you have, just we'll have a look at that. Matthew chapter 24. We see that it's going to be a live telecasting. The background is very clear. It is immediately after the tribulation of those days it is going to happen. Matthew 24, verse 29 you read. 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Of course, the description, as I told you, that is going to take place in the midst of the Armageddon, the last day of Armageddon. Then verse 30 we will read to save the time. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. The Lord will come in heaven. The sign will appear, the second coming, the sign of that will appear. Then we read the next verse. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Because the war is taking place. Everybody is mourning. Everybody is crying. And then you look at the next part. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with the power and great glory. Look at that. All the tribes of the earth shall see. Something that is happening in Jerusalem. The coming of the Lord on the Mount of Olives in glory. How all the world will see? It's very clear. They, all the tribes of the earth shall see that. That shows that that event is going to be a live telecasting. You know, the war events are live telecasting nowadays. So when they see the Lord is coming in glory, probably all these TV people, they will focus their camera, BBC or CNN or whatever, maybe everybody will be focusing, and it will be going to be a live telecasting. So the Lord's coming is a glorious one. It is going to be a public event. Everyone will see that. He is coming to judge the world. Now another thing we see that there's no sign is given for the rapture. Whereas many signs are given for the glorious appearance. Rapture, at all probability, will take place during a peace time. When they say there's a peace and safety at that time, it can happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 to 3, you read, we'll understand that. Whenever any war takes place, people think that Lord's coming is near. Don't think like that. Rapture can take place anytime, even today. Whereas, the glorious appearance will take place at the last day of Armageddon. He is coming to destroy the enemies, to capture Antichrist and false prophet. We read in the book of Revelation chapter 19 about that. In the midst of war, he is going to come. Rapture will take place before tribulation. And glorious appearance is going to happen immediately after the tribulation. Matthew 24 verse 29, we have read that. Rapture, we are meeting the Lord in the air. And glorious appearance, it is happening on the Mount of Olives. When his feet will touch on the Mount of Olives, the book of Zechariah very clearly says, the Mount of Olives will divide into two. It's a war time. In rapture, the New Testament saints will be resurrected. And in the glorious appearance, the Old Testament saints will be resurrected. Rapture is for the saints. Glorious appearance with the saints. Of course, each one we need to explain in detail. I have no time to explain in detail. Just for your enthusiasm to study, you can do that studies by yourself. So, this is a distinction between a rapture and the glorious appearance. Now, I want to draw your attention primarily, I don't have only 10 minutes remaining, so I want to draw your attention to three main events that will take place at the time of rapture. Look at that, the passage which you have read in the beginning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. There are three things are mentioned. Apostle Paul is speaking and comforting the believers in Thessalonica. He is talking to them. For the Lord is coming. He is coming from heaven. And we read that, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. So one thing is mentioned about the Lord's shout. Second, even look at that. With the voice of the archangel is coming. Third one, with the trump of God. So three events are happening at that time of rapture. It so impressed my heart, saying that, for God himself shall descend. Actually, he could have told one angel, Gabriel, or Michael, you can go and collect everybody and come here, heaven. Isn't it? It is easy. But he is not telling like that. He himself will come. That shows his love for the church. You know the prodigal son, when he returned home, father saw him afar off. But he did it. He ran to hear him. He could have said to the servant, go and bring him. Isn't it? He did not do that. He himself, the father himself, ran to meet his son because of his love. So here we see the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. It is because he loves us. He loves you and me very much. His love is exhibited here. He is coming from heaven. And we see that shall descend from heaven with a shout. Second event is voice of the archangel, and the third is trumpet of God. I'm going to briefly notice that these three things. Now, why he is shouting? Why the Lord's? What does it mean by the shout of the Lord? You to understand, come to the John's Gospel chapter 5. John's Gospel chapter 5, we have a reference about the Lord's coming there. Verse 28 you can read, 28 and 29, 5 verse 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. His Lord's shout is a voice, they will hear his voice, those who are in the graves, and shall come forth, they that have done good. Of course, the second part, we need to, it is going to happen later on. So the Lord's voice or the Lord's shout is going down into the grave and make the people to get up. The believers, those who are dead in Christ, shall be raised first. We read in the John's Gospel chapter 11, we read about the resurrection of Lazarus. Lord went there near the grave of Lazarus. Then we read like this. The Lord cried with a loud voice. Loud voice. Actually, he could have said, okay, Lazarus, you come out. Slowly, the Lazarus would have come out. But we read that he spoke in a loud voice. His authority over death. He is the one who got victory over death. So he spoke very clearly, Lazarus, come out. As somebody said, like, he would not have mentioned the word Lazarus, the all dead would have come out. So the Lazarus came out. So the Lord's shout, he's coming descending with a shout. That means those who are in the grave will hear his voice. And they will come out. And they will be resurrected. So those who are alive, we, you and me, who are alive, will be transformed. And both of us will be together, we will ascend into heaven. Oh, what a glorious day it is. We will meet on that day, the dear ones departed, our dear ones. That is the hope of the believer. Of course, at that time I will see my father. I will meet many of my dear ones who are there, resting in the grave, resting in the presence of the Lord. I will meet them. And they will be resurrected, and we will meet them at that time. That is a glorious event. So that's the purpose of the Lord's shout. The second thing, the voice of the archangel. What is the need of the voice of the archangel? You know, wherever we see that, the word of God very clearly says that God has appointed angels for our service. They serve us in many ways. They give us protection. They give us various ways they help us. Probably unknown to us, but the angels are there around us as a protection. So, when the resurrection takes place, definitely the demonic forces, the Satan and all the forces will try to stop that. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was buried, all the evil forces tried that he should not resurrect. So they sealed the grave. with the Roman seal. But the death could not hold him. The seal could not hold him. He rose again on the third day. Same way, Satanic forces will try to stop us. And this voice of the archangel is essential to fight with the demonic forces or the evil forces that is preventing this event. They are for our security. They are for our safety. So, you know, there was a dispute of the body of Moses. Satan was disputing with the archangel Michael. So there may be a dispute will be there. But nothing will happen, whether we will be resurrected and we will go to meet the Lord in the air. Sometimes I wonder when the whole church is going up, probably Satan and his people will try to pull us down. Possibility is there. You don't think we cannot believe him. Probably you may be thinking I am imagining too much. It's not my imagination. Come to Romans chapter 16 verse 20. You read that. You can understand what it is. Romans chapter 16 verse 20. What it says? Romans 16 verse 20. Something is going to happen very shortly. Verse 20. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Something is going to happen very shortly. That is, we are going to bruise Satan under our feet. When we are going ascending up, we are ascending up at that time, we are going to bruise the Satan and all the enemies under our feet, and we will ascend up into heaven. Oh, what a wonderful day it is. Voice of the archangel. It is for our security. And one more thing I want to tell you in that connection. We are going to meet the Lord in the air. In the air. We know that Bible says about another name, a title is given to Satan. He is the prince of the air. That means we are passing through his territory. When we are passing through the territory of Satan, Satan will try to stop us. But the voice of the archangel will protect us, and we are safely, we will reach the Lord. We will defeat him under our feet. Finally, what is the third thing? Trumpet of God. Trump of God. You know, in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, there are various purposes of the trumpet is mentioned. You can note down all these things are there. I have no time to explain everything. One thing is there. Trumpet is essential. The sound of the trumpet is a signal to start the journey. Commencement of the journey is given by the trumpet call. Here, we have to start our journey from the earth to heaven. To meet the Lord in the air. And that event will take place here. Trumpet of God will blow, and we will be ascending up to meet the Lord in the air. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read this trumpet is called as the last trumpet. Why it is called the last trumpet? Out of the three events, notice very clearly, out of the three events, this trumpet of God, or trumpet of God, is the last event. And that is why it is called as the last trumpet. And at the last trumpet, we will be ascending. How much time it takes for the rapture? Twinkling of an eye. Twinkling of an eye. Actually, in the Greek language, the word is in a moment. That means actually, atomos of the time. Atom, that is the word is used. Atomos of the time. You divide the time. Where you cannot divide further, that much time is sufficient. Scientists say that it takes only 100 milliseconds for twinkling of an eye. That means rapture can take place within this 100 milliseconds. That much even that is going to happen, we are going to meet the Lord in the air. The Lord is coming very soon. And we read in that, there that at that time, those who are dead in Christ shall be raised first. first. There, only the New Testament believers will be there. I have no time to explain all that things. It's very clear in the scripture that only the New Testament believers, those who died from the day of Pentecost till the rapture, will be there at that time. We will meet the Lord in the air. What a glorious event that is. And Paul says that, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. These are the most comforting words for you and me. I don't know the spiritual status of those who are seated here. But I want to ask you one thing. There are two uncertain things in the life. Uncertain, we don't know when it is happening. One, death is an uncertain thing. At any time, the death can come. Second, uncertain thing is the Lord's coming. We don't know at what time He is going to come. But my question is this one. Are you prepared for that? If you die today, are you going to be with the Lord? That's the question. If you are not sure where you are going, tonight you can make a decision for the Lord. He came down to save you. He came as the Savior of the world first time. But second time He is coming as the Judge of the world to judge you. If you accept Him as your personal Savior, you can be with Him. Second uncertain thing is the coming of the Lord. If He comes today, are you sure that you are going to be with Him? Make sure that you are going to be with Him. For that, you have to accept Him as your personal Savior. Then you will have the joy. I have no fear of anything happening around me. Because I know that I am going to be with the Lord at any moment. Lord is coming. The last promise in the Bible. We see that surely I come quickly. That's the last promise. Immediately we see the last prayer in the Bible. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Shortest prayer in the Bible. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Let us have that prayer continuously on our lips. We should pray, Lord, you come soon. This is the blessed hope of the believers. Of course, Lord is going to come. And we have to wait for Him. If anybody is seated here, if you are not sure about your future, make the decision tonight and go home happily. Lord will take you to be with Him at that time. May God bless this verse to our hearts. I extend my sincere thanks for the brethren here for giving me this opportunity to share the word. May God bless all of us. Okay, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for this blessed time that was granted to us. We thank Thee, O Lord, for helping us to come together in this manner, even though we are few in number. You are speaking to us through Thy word. We thank Thee for speaking to us about Thy coming, O Lord. This is the blessed hope of each one of us. If anybody is here who has not received Thee as a personal Savior, speak to their heart and help them to receive Thee as a personal Savior and to find meaning for their life and the hope for their life. We commit them also unto Thy hand. O Lord, we thank Thee for the word that was given to us. Help us to retain in our heart and live a life that is pleasing to Thee. We thank Thee and praise Thee for all the things Thou hast taught to us, O Lord. O Lord, in the coming days, help us to live this life of hope and also a life that is pleasing to Thee. Thank Thee for the word. We ask it all these things in the sweet and precious name of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.